Only God could rescue me. Only God could set me free. Only God. Only God. Only God.
Hello, welcome to Only God Rescued Me, my journey from satanic ritual abuse. I'm Lisa Meister, your host, and today we are welcoming Paul Weaver. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, glad to be here.
So glad to have you. You are the husband of an SRA survivor.
Yes, that is very true.
So you have an incredible perspective, and I'm really glad you're coming here today. And the husband, the spouse, is a hero in the healing story of survivors. And we don't hear enough from the spouses. And so I'm really glad you came to help us today to get your perspective. I know with Patrick, once I started being able to finally hear him, to understand his perspective was very difficult for me because there were so many things inside my head that I couldn't get his perspective for so long because I heard my dad speaking. And so when my husband would say something, behind what he was saying, I was hearing my dad's voice. And so learning how to take that out and hearing my husband, it was complicated. It was complex. But when I was able to finally get that out and hear just the love, the compassion, and that he's really been alongside of me for this journey, it's been such a blessing. And like we've been together 32 years now. How long have you been married?
26.
26. So you've been there.
Yes.
For a long time.
Yes.
Did you know Carolyn was an SRA survivor when you got married?
No, I did not. And even she did not know at the time that she was.
Had you ever heard of SRA?
Not really. The movies would portray stuff that's finding out was very real. But in the movies, it was always distant. I never connected what I saw in the movies with what I saw in real life. So no, I really didn't have any concept of SRA or an SRA survivor, especially back then.
Did you have any idea that there is any kind of trauma in her background?
No, actually, we didn't. Neither I did, or she really didn't. She knew she had a rough upbringing. She felt like she was in a bubble and protected. And so she had very few memories of growing up when we first met and were married. She has siblings, and one of her siblings could remember a little bit more, but still it wasn't to the level that we now know. Carolyn was a school teacher. We met at church. There were no indications to her or to me of the depth of what would be uncovered several years after we did get married.
How did you view her parents?
So her parents, her mom and her biological dad, were divorced when she was an early teenager. And so her mom had remarried not long after that. So her dad lived in a different state, or lives in a different state. He's still alive. And I really didn't meet him, but her mom and her stepdad were Christians. They were going to church. They were active. They were very family oriented. They were trying to make ends meet, as a lot of families do. But there was no indication that there was any of the trauma that was back there. Her mom really tried to hide everything, as I guess most people would who have lived through stuff like that. They don't want to necessarily relive it. So she tried as best as she could not to relive it. Her mom and her stepdad, they were friendly. We got along fine. So there was no real indicator there either of what we would experience later. So,
did they explain the divorce to you, or why the dad wasn't ever introduced?
Carolyn knew that they moved, I think it was like 12 or 13 times before she graduated from high school. So they knew he was always getting kicked out. He was a pastor, I will say that, or in that role. He wasn't fulfilling it, but he was in, that was his occupation. But he was always getting kicked out of churches wherever he was. So they were constantly moving, once, sometimes twice a year. So we knew that there was a lot of stuff going on. We knew that there were reasons for why he was getting kicked out of these places, but it was kind of surface level. No one ever dug in back then to understand why, or, and those, her family was not willing to necessarily go revisit that. So it just didn't come up. I knew there was a reason, but just did not dive into it anymore.
So we just don't talk about it. We're just going to leave it there.
The past is the past.
Sure.
Let's get on with it. It was a bad time. It's over. And we'll get on. Now, I did actually meet him. I did meet her biological dad once. And that was actually before we got into counseling and discovered the depths of what happened. So I did get to meet him and his side of the family. And again, at the time, he talked a good talk, but he couldn't come to our wedding because he was banned by the state of Florida for leaving. He could not leave the state of Florida, which is where he was living, for legal purposes. So that was known. But that, again, that was it.
Okay. So as far as you knew, the family, other than the non-talkable thing, seemed fine. So there was no big red flags.
There were no red flags at all. Uh-uh.
Interesting. When did, like, trauma flares, not necessarily the satanic ritual abuse, but like the trauma flares start, like there's something wrong, start coming out?
In hindsight, it actually began when we got married. You know, because I was now taking the place of, spiritually, of her parents. And so she was starting to experience stuff she had not experienced before. She worked, she taught for the first year that we were married, but she was dealing with so much stress and so many health challenges that I said it wasn't worth it for her to continue to work. So I just told her to stop working. So back then, we would go to doctors and they would check her out and not find anything wrong. And it started picking up speed when our first child was born. And it really climaxed at just before our third child was born. And that's really what started us on this journey, is because we kept going. She kept going to doctor after doctor, and they would test her. They would put her on heart monitors. They would do GI tests, all these things, and everything would come back negative. We were really seeking health-wise for her. So it really began when we got married. A lot of marriage counselors and speakers talk about, or they used to talk about anyway, when you get married, you have maybe 12 months, 18-month honeymoon period with this euphoria, and then you'd settle in. We didn't experience that. No, it was great to be married, but just the stress and the health challenges, again, they started then. We really didn't have that honeymoon period per se.
Sure. So when did the satanic ritual abuse start coming out?
So we met at church. We were both in the singles group at the church that we were attending. And so when we married, she was working at the school that the church had. So we were there still at that church. And the pastor at the time, the senior pastor of the church at the time, had been doing inner healing counseling or sending people to other ministries to get counseling. And he had talked to us, talked to Carolyn a couple of times, and realized there was probably more that it was out of his league with what he could do. So he directed us to an inner healing ministry that's here in the area. And that's really where everything began to be uncovered. It probably took 6 months after that, after she started counseling with this ministry, that things began to get uncovered as to what really happened. She started seeing memories that she had not seen before. They started coming to the surface. And as they explored what was surfacing, that was a guiding path as to, okay, we're dealing with SRA stuff now. This is what happened. These are the things that other SRA survivors have experienced. Yeah, it was really the direction of the senior pastor at the time to send us to where. And it was challenging, very challenging. We went to a church that was, I don't know if we would necessarily call this Word of Faith, but it was very much a Word of Faith church. Pray it, God heals it instantly. You speak it, you believe it, it's done. So there were a lot of people in the church that couldn't understand why we had to keep going to counseling or why she had to keep going to counseling. But it's a one or two time thing and you're done. But the senior pastor understood. And his journey at the time was actually very similar. He didn't go through SRA, but he was still going to the same inner healing counseling himself. And the more freedom that he got, the more spirit-filled he became. And wow. The more spirit-filled he became, the more he wanted other pastors in the area to also experience that freedom. So we did have an advocate in him at the beginning. However, there were others in the church that did not quite understand, based on their belief system, what was happening. So,
how many years into marriage did you get into this?
We started counseling probably 9 years after we were married.
And then how did you come to believe that this was true?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. At the beginning, it sounded very weird, especially with what was being seen. But with my journey, with our journey, I think one of the biggest benefits for me is that I started attending counseling sessions with her. There was a parallel track with that, in that we both knew that we wanted what she was starting to go through, we wanted to learn. So there was also, this inner healing ministry was doing prayer counseling school. So we also signed up to do the prayer counseling school. So there were two different tracks with this ministry that we were participating in. But Carolyn started off with a lady counselor, because that's what they tried to do. Women with women, men with men. But then the counselor that she was seeing stopped, and it's been so long, I don't remember the reason why she stopped counseling, but Carolyn had to change counselors. And so she started counseling with a man. He was one of the instructors in the school, but it was still with a man. And so I started attending the counseling sessions with her to protect her. I don't know if that's the right, but they recorded everything. So it wasn't necessarily hidden, but just for the sake that she was in a room with another man for extended periods of time, we had learned through marriage stuff and other experiences that was never a good opportunity, no matter how innocent it may be. There's always the perception, and if something does arise up that questions, it just throws integrity out the window.
Sure.
And we knew that back then. So yeah. I just started attending her counseling sessions with her. And that was probably the best move that I did, because I got to see what was happening as it was coming up, and not her trying to rehash it, retell it afterwards.
Yeah. Wow. So you were right there hearing it. That had to be hard on you.
It was very surreal. It was almost, again, going back to the movies, it was almost like hearing a horror movie and just not really believing at first that, wow, people are really that bad.
Yeah.
It was hard to believe, but just the way I'm wired, I've always liked trying to figure out how people think. And before I met the Lord, that never went well. But after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, even though I grew up in the church, I was never really a follower. But it was when I decided to follow that my life changed. And so I knew I couldn't do it alone, and I knew it wasn't me. And we learned through this process that it's really Jesus is the healer. We discovered just greater and greater depths and heights of his love and his healing through the journey. But yeah, just when it was all being uncovered, it was very surreal.
So, like, I know my husband, he was very angry that he couldn't protect me when I was little. I said, since you were 5 years older than me, it would have been very difficult. Was that like something that you dealt with too, that anger of nothing I could do?
There were a handful of times that I felt like that. But one of the struggles that I had was that I was trying to reconcile what she was experiencing, or what she was relaying, what she was in the process of getting healed of, with how I knew her. So that was really my biggest struggle. So it seemed like another person really had gone through that based on what I knew. So the things that she went through were horrendous. And my nature is to pull back. And I have, one of my challenges is that I don't get very emotional. And the way the Lord works, I think he put us together knowing my weakness would probably be a strength for her just in the journey that we had to. So again, there were a couple of times that I really did get angry, but that was only a handful of times maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So, what do you felt like you learned from the viewpoint of sitting in those counseling sessions?
That's a good question. What did I learn? Really, I guess the big thing is how great our God is. That's probably the biggest thing. How intimate and how personal he is. Also, along the times that she was going to counseling, I was also going at different times for some of the things that I was going through, because in reality, everyone needs counseling just to some degree. We can't do it on our own. We're not supposed to do it on our own. We're not built to do it on our own. And between my healing that was nowhere near the same level as Carolyn's healing, still the fact of understanding how great Jesus's love is, the Father's love is, and how intimate in our life he wants to be, is probably the biggest thing that I got out of both of our counseling sessions that we would go through.
So how do you see how great his love was through the counseling sessions?
For me, even though I did grow up in the church, God was very distant. He was an out-of-the-box God, if I can use that analogy, where the earth and all creations inside the box, and he was outside the box. When I came to the Lord, that really began a more personal, intimate relationship with him. But to see that he was there in the midst of everything, which was a struggle, because why was he there, but she still experienced everything. And that comes down to really free will. He gives us free will, because without free will, we can't love him. But the flip side to free will is that there is an enemy out there who wants to destroy us. But anyways, just that knowing that the Lord comes to us, talks to us, walks with us, heals us, has a plan for us, all that we really both discovered and knew to depths that we had not known before of him. So
beautiful. Yeah. Becomes real, real, and you have to lean on him so strong.
It does. And again, this goes back to me being in her sessions, because it sounds like it's a long time, and it has been a long journey. We started this journey, 17 years ago? Yeah, 17 years ago. Just being, again, in the counseling sessions with her, I don't know if I is really where that understanding came from. It did come from mine too, but to see it transform her, to see the Lord transform her in there, I don't know if I could have understood that to that level if I had not attended those sessions with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes in powerfully.
He does.
When he's that redemption part of that horrific of a story.
Yeah.
You see the power of God.
He is always faithful. It was no matter what would come up in a session, there was always some kind of resolution. He would resolve whatever he was bringing up. It was amazing to see how he works, because we would experience, or Carolyn would experience, and I would too, because of our relationship, things that would happen just before a counseling session, sometimes on the way to a counseling session, that, you know, okay, this is what we're dealing with in the counseling session. And then to see him always, every single one of them, time, it would be, that issue would be resolved when we left.
Wow.
There was no dangling. Now, granted, we've been in this journey for a long time, and there's been a lot of stuff to deal with. So again, she wasn't healed in an instant. And that's been a question we've asked and others asked, is why hasn't he? And that is, we've struggled with that. There have been a lot of times where we thought we were almost done, and we weren't. But he was always faithful, and the journey has been, even with what she's dealt with, walking with him has been incredible. That's probably the biggest thing. Yes, it's great that he does heal. He does heal miraculously. There are people that do get healed in an instant. But just the walk, the lifestyle that we've developed, the intimacy that we've gotten by walking this out has been worth it. Not that what happened to her, that was atrocious. But again, the walk that we have now, and especially that she has now, is definitely worth it. So
I was going to ask you, why do you think it takes survivors so long to heal? Which goes right in with this.
So it does with her and with a lot of other SRA trauma, from what I understand anyway. Abuse comes from authority a lot of times, or lack of authority, because a parent didn't do what a parent should have done. Something bad happened. It may have been at the hands of the parent. It may have been because they let someone else come in, or whoever. So there's really a struggle with authority. Is God good? Can he be trusted? Because the people who, in my life who I was supposed to have trusted failed miserably. So I think there's a big trust issue and struggle with that. And taking that into SRA even further, some of the abuse that Carolyn had or experienced, they would dress people up as Jesus to come abuse her. So she has struggled with, is it really Jesus that I'm seeing? And is it really Jesus that I'm talking to? And again, the real Jesus is always faithful and he would always bring resolution, but it's a process. Building trust is not something that's done in a day. Trust is developed over long periods of time. Carolyn had to learn how to trust. She had a level of trust with the Lord. She, after her parents were divorced, her mom, and I mentioned her mom had gotten remarried, and they started attending a Spirit-filled church. And so she was filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized with the Holy Spirit, not long after her parents had divorced. And so she credits that with where her strength came from, that she had up to that point. So she did have some foundation. She was still in the church. She was still a believer. She was still teaching. So she did have that foundation upon which to build. And many people that go through the same experience like she did, they turn away. And that's what the enemy wants. That's what Satan wants. He wants to destroy the image of God because we're created in his image. And he wants to destroy that image. He wants to destroy our relationship. So anything that he can do to damage that, he will take. So again, she had some level that she could trust the Lord on, which I think helped her. But still, I think the biggest thing is it's learning to trust the Lord and that he is good. And that takes time.
Yeah, it does. So what do you admire about Carolyn in watching her go through her healing?
I guess the thing that I admire most is twofold. One, it was her willingness not to give up. And the second part to that is, again, her walk and how she hears and walks and talks with the Lord now is so much different and so much broader and deeper than we could ever have imagined before all this started. So I know a lot of people give up. They start experiencing pain and they want to pull away. They don't want to deal with it, but she wanted to get through it. She didn't want to live with the pain anymore. She had already tried everything else, basically. We tried doctors. We even got sent to a psychologist during this process. And that was a scary thing. The psychologist we went to had written horror books. He'd written a series of horror novels. And
boy,
he started listing off the prescriptions that he was taking. And it's just, and why are we here?
Wow.
So we went, the Lord had us in a lot of different places. We were learning from different things that he would show us. But yeah, so anyway, to get back to, I think, the question, those were the two things, just her willingness and her desire to get through it. Now, we did not know the depth it was going to be. But once it started to be uncovered, it's just like, we can't continue to live like the way we live. We have to keep going. And we had trust in the counselors that we were going to. We're all human. There were trust issues that did arise with the counselors because we're all human. But again, it's incredible how the Lord in his timing will bring things up and to get healed. Yeah, it's just incredible the depth that the Lord cares for us and wants us healed and is willing to go through to get us there.
Yeah.
So once we really got an understanding of that, it's hard to say, I don't want that anymore. Yeah, she just had a real desire to not live in the pain.
Yeah, I think it was Carolyn that said when she started, she gave God 3 months to heal her.
That's what we thought we would go, just a handful of times, 3 or 4 times over a course of a few months, and it would all be healed. But at the beginning, too, we did not know the depth of what had happened. And I can hear people asking, because they have already asked us, was what happened real? Did it really happen? And all I can say is, yes, there is so much circumstantial evidence, not just in our life, but in the family's life, in the bigger family's life, that we knew that there was just a lot of confirmations. Whenever we would have questions, the Lord would confirm it, either one way or another. It was always confirmed that what she experienced was real.
So why is it so hard for survivors to heal?
It's painful. They're having to experience, or they are experiencing a lot of the trauma from what happened to them. It's painful. Unfortunately, it's not getting surgery where they put you under for a few hours while the doctors do all the fixing, and then you wake up and it's all done. Even then, there's a recovery period for whatever happened medically. So with SRA survivors, or any survivors really, it's painful. And that's why we need community. We were built for community, I believe. And I think a lot of the answer, not all of the answer, but some of the answer of getting through it comes in community. But again, it's a journey. It's painful, and it's a trust process, learning to trust the Lord in ways that we did not understand before. It's worth it to get through. It is definitely worth it to get through. There are so many more benefits, some of which we've talked about already, of getting through it rather than just trying to live with it.
Because you can't.
Right.
Can't.
Yes.
You can't
try, but again,
yeah.
Carolyn tried, but again, we were going to doctors all the time that didn't think there was anything wrong.
You know, so it was anything.
It was leaking out in other areas of their life, or her life, our life. So yeah, it was coming out whether we went to counseling or not. So with counseling, we knew we were headed in the right direction, and with people that could help us get there.
Yeah, it's good to have people that understand it. You got to have people that understand what SRA is.
Yeah.
It was good that you had some of those.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Because there were some counselors that the Lord had us go to that we would learn things from, but yeah, they would not have a clue as to what SRA is and the depth that entails. But when we would go to a different counselor, is because the Lord said, go there. And so he would always teach us things. But yeah, again, a lot of those outside of the inner healing ministry that we started with did not understand it. Now, over the years, because we've been on this journey for a while, we did encounter other inner healing ministries that did understand it. And the Lord has used them as well. We were with the initial inner healing ministry for probably 10 years, and we still are in communication with them, with the founder. We have a good relationship with them still, even though that's not where the Lord has us right now. So we still honor and support the ministry that we started with. But yeah, again, most of the places that we've gone that the Lord has sent us, they don't know the depths of SRA.
Yeah. Which is tough.
It is, because they have their own view, as we all do, we see our world as our own slice of pie, and what we have works for us. This is the way I've learned it. It works. So to have something outside another slice of pie, if I can use that analogy, oftentimes it just doesn't compute with people. So we encountered that where other counselors just wouldn't understand. But that's where we weren't necessarily following a counselor. The beauty of the path that we got started on is that our counselor always pointed us to Jesus, always invited Jesus in, always invited Holy Spirit in. So it was never about the counselor. It was always about the Lord and what he was doing.
Which is what you have to do in SRA to heal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has to be. That's right. And that's my problem with SRA ministries when they have a prescribed program.
Yes.
And they don't work.
Right. Yes.
Because it has to be. Because every survivor I've talked to has had that has healed. It's been a Jesus-centered healing specific for that survivor.
Yes. Yeah.
It just is.
It is. I agree.
And while it would be nice to have one ministry that can have one curriculum that would heal us all, that would be so much easier. Yeah. It's just, it doesn't work for us.
We're not all big toes. We're not all pinky toes. We're not all fingers. So there are different parts of the body. It's just, I think a lot, this is going into my theology too, is that we all need to be more aware that we are part of a bigger body. We are part of the body of Christ. We're not an island over here or an island over here. And this is the way, or this is the way, or this is the way. We're part of the body of Christ. And there's many members in the body of Christ. And he directs everyone. So there's a bigger picture, I think, that could be had.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
So how have you been able to stay strong memory after memory and year after year?
I don't know if I would always say I stayed strong.
Okay. How did you stay present without going, here we go again?
I think a lot of it was because I had to. We had three young kids when at the beginning of the process. We started the process of inner healing about 6 months before our third daughter was born. So we had life going on. And so I was going with her to the counseling sessions, but there was a lot of having to take care of the kids. I had my job that I could get lost in. I think a lot of guys can and do sometimes get lost in their occupation. I don't know if I was lost because just of my own journey, I always knew I was working for the Lord. So I did have a bigger picture in that sense. So I wasn't lost in my job, but I still had to do that. I still had to provide. I still had to get through a lot of the emotions that I would feel. Like I said, I didn't feel very many emotions at the beginning. Those would come up during counseling. Again, a lot of it was a surreal process. So I didn't really have emotions for a lot of it, but I did get angry a couple of times, like I'd mentioned before. And then just trying to hold Carolyn up. It was not, I don't know if I had a time that I could think about how I felt, because I was trying to help her or help the kids. And just the way that I was wired, I was able to handle it. And I look back and it's the Lord. The Lord put in me what I needed, especially with Carolyn. And he does that for everyone. It's not something that's unique that he put in me. He puts that in everyone. What he puts in us is for our spouse. So a lot of that I didn't struggle with, but it's because she struggled so much that I was trying to help her and the kids. So that's a quicker answer.
You were steadfast.
Yes. Yes.
You were. And that's a godly characteristic. And my husband was too. And it's amazing to me because I was so frustrated with myself. Here we go again.
Yeah.
And I would go into the panic of, will this ever stop? And it would just snowball for me.
One of the things that I used to and I still do joke about, we know that we're called for marriage as one of the areas of calling of focus. So we've done different marriage courses. We've done different marriage things over the course of the year intentionally. And we're even in one now that we started a couple of weeks ago. In that, they're talking about it as well. But to get to the point, one of the things I say is that the Lord used me to bring a lot of healing to Carolyn.
Yeah.
Because it was inevitable that somehow I would push a button that would set her off, intentional or not intentional. And oftentimes it was with us, with our journey, it was that I didn't have emotions that would set her off.
Sure.
So again, with the Lord, though, we knew things that we should do. We knew to take it to the Lord, and we had seen him be faithful time after time again to bring all those to healing. Yeah, it was tough to go through, but every single one of them brought glory to him. But yeah, so that's one of my things, is I was helping Carolyn get healed a lot quicker.
Oh, I'm glad.
Because I kept pushing her buttons.
Yeah, sure. And I think too, that marriage and then having children pushes all of us to deal with emotions, you know, and to get us all stronger and healthier in ways we wouldn't if we weren't married and didn't have children.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff we have to deal with that we wouldn't if we weren't
right.
Put in all those areas.
There's opportunities. Again, the course that we're in right now is a marriage course, and they have probably no idea what SRA is or whatnot, but they do understand counseling, and they have an understanding that the buttons that we have or the triggers that we're experiencing are not to run away from. It's not to blame the other person, but it's an opportunity to allow God to work in our life to bring healing to a place that needs to be healed. So that's true whether your pain is this or your pain is this. It's true, and he is the healer and will heal every time we take it to him and let him come in and deal with it.
Yeah, Patrick and I were talking yesterday about the husband being the head of the home, which he is so good at. He does not push me around, or we come together to make our decisions. And it really is only if a decision has to be made and we don't have time to come in agreement that he will come in and make the decision. And it's very rare that's had to happen.
Right.
So he's been really good in that. But just talking about it, I was just so out of sorts. And I knew it was because of my dad and my background. Right. And so I'm like, okay, I need to go to God and work on this. Here's an area of my background that's still hurting that I need to go to God for help on.
Yeah.
And Patrick's, okay, what's going on? It's not you. Right. It's my past.
Right.
I just need a little space to it's apparently still tangled up together. So let me untangle it. But all day I was just really crabby. But he's, Lisa, are you mad at me? I'm like, I'm really not mad at you. I'm just not detangled yet. And I don't know why. So it's complicated. It is just so complicated.
And that was the thing that we learned at the beginning, that it wasn't about me. I joked that I was able to bring Carolyn a lot more healing faster because I kept triggering her. But we also had the teaching and understanding that it wasn't necessarily anything I was doing wrong. It wasn't related necessarily to me. Now, there I did have my issues, and those had to be dealt with. But the bigger picture was most everything that she was experiencing was from the past. And
right.
I reminded her of something, or something else may have reminded her of it. And I just happened to be there when she's dealing with it. Again, as you were saying right then, it's not necessarily the spouse's problem. We're here to help. We're here to walk. But it may not have been anything that I did wrong. It just, again, it's directed at those who were abusive. And I just happened to be, because it was her parents, I just happened to be spiritually in their place when we married. It's that leave thing. So that helped me greatly at the beginning, understanding that it was not always about me that she was angry.
Yeah.
Or feeling pain or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me a long time because Patrick used to say, Lisa, I'm not your dad. It's really been the last year. I'm like, I really was looking at him like, it wasn't like I thought that you were my dad, but I was giving you all these motives. Like, okay, like this silly one, he would come home from work and he would say, so what did you do today? And in my mind, it was like, I'm looking around the house and I can't tell what you did. Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a few years ago that he's like, no, I just really wanted to know what you did today. You know, and but my dad was never happy with me and his questions were never what they were on the surface. His, you know, it was always a psychological messing with you. You're in trouble with whatever he said, you know, so, you know, he asked a question and you were like, oh, you know, what's the fallout going to be on this question? So when Patrick would come home and he would say, so what'd you do today? I'd look around the house and it's like, I worked all day long. You can't tell it because it's a mess. But I, you know, I swept the floor, you know, I dusted, I did laundry, I did the dishes, but it's a wreck because I have four kids. You know, we homeschooled, we did all, you know, but like, you can't tell a thing I did today. It's like, oh my goodness, my life's falling apart, you know, and then I'm like, you know, it's like, I don't know what I did today, you know, and then I'm just in a meltdown. And it was just a few years ago, he's like, no, I was just talking.
Right.
Yes. You know, I just was trying to share your life with you. And I'm like,
trying to connect.
All these years, you know, all these years, I took it as a put down. You know, like, how horrible. You know, my dad was in the way in my mind, all those, you know, like, so like in these marriage relationships, it's so tangled and it's so hard to pull all that out and understand it both ways. And that's why the spouse is heroic, you know, to stick with us because we're so slow in trying to untangle all these things. And that's why healing isn't so fast.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's so hard. And I know Carolyn has gone after healing with everything she's got. You know, she's been in counseling. She's reading the book. She's spending time praying. You know, she's going after it. And I have too. It's not like I'm slacking. You know, it's like, tell me what to do and I will go do it.
Right.
You know, but it's just hard to, you know, to have all these epiphanies. Oh, he's just asking because he just wants to know. That's my big, you know, it took me 30 years to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm slow, I guess, you know, but it's sad. You know, it's just really sad. It shouldn't be that way.
I agree. I mean, that I think that's part of the tactics of the enemy is to destroy those things. So anything he can do to disrupt it or to get you to believe something other than what it is.
Yeah.
Or for any of us, for all of us, it's not just for survivors or whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you encourage your wife? How'd you encourage Carolyn through the years?
I don't know if she would say everything I did was an encouragement. I tried to get her to do what I do. And that's stand up and resist and fight. And me trying to impose that on her never worked. I have one of the examples that I've used over the course of years and some of the talks I've given to men is that we do need to band together. But have you ever seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy when Gandalf stands up to the Balrog and it says, "You shall not pass"? A lot of times when stuff does rise up within me, that's what I feel like I'm doing. So I had to learn to not try to encourage her to do the same thing because she wanted to be held. She wanted to know it was safe. So I had to learn to do that. And that was I probably still struggle in that. She'll probably tell you honestly that I still struggle with that. So I did what I could, being there with her. Help I think, was a big encouragement. I was blessed in that the Lord let me work from home. So I was there physically. I wasn't always there mentally, but I had a presence there that I think helped to know that she wasn't necessarily all alone. But again, just trying to encourage her. We did the inner healing classes, so we learned stuff to do there. And we learned that if I was failing, it may not have been a personal thing, that reason that I was acting the way I was, or not as encouraging as I should have been. And the marriage stuff helped. The marriage books and the marriage classes, the stuff that I really gravitate to are the teachings and materials where they tell you, they give you how to walk it out rather than just telling you what to do. They give you examples and help you walk it out. That's why I liked the inner healing ministry that we started with, that we were a part of. Because we also went to their marriage training classes and stuff like that. And they gave practical examples of how can I love my wife? So I won't say I did that well, but we had a stick-to-itiveness, if that's a word, to work it out together. And there were a lot of bumps in the road. And ultimately, she would, like you were saying with Patrick, a lot of times she would learn later that what I was actually trying to do to encourage her was me trying to encourage her and not trying to trigger her. So we had to learn, and she had to repeatedly tell me, no, this is what's encouraging to me. She still tells me that today. But yeah, so it's a dance, it's a waltz, and sometimes we stepped on each other's toes. It was a fluid thing, not a static, set in stone type thing. So I tried to encourage her a lot. I mean, we did other things too. We were in children's ministry for a long time. I was in for 18 years. She was in for children's ministry for longer than that. So there were different things, and we had different people that would come in and encourage, even though we would encounter those who didn't understand what they were trying to encourage wasn't encouraging. Still, we were able to walk through it and know that, okay, that may have hurt, but they did actually have good intention in what they're wanting and what they believe. I just did what I could to encourage her. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Well, it's definitely a trial and error learning process.
Yes. Yeah. But I think the biggest thing was her knowing that I wasn't going to leave.
Yeah.
That I was in to stay no matter what she was going through. And I think she could always fall back on that, almost always. There was one time she probably wanted to throw me out. And I can laugh about it now. It was a big issue for me, and it created a lot of distrust in our relationship. And most people would think, wow. But it, without the Lord, I don't know how people get through it, because the Lord used that, the timing of how things come up. When we leave it in His hands, it's amazing. We may not always understand it as we're going through it, but once we get through it with Him and then look back, it's wow. You can really see Him working. And He cares about each one of us. He doesn't want us to live with the junk. He doesn't want us to live with what the world throws on us, you know, what we join ourselves to the world. And even in the little things, He wants us to be free of all of that. And so when we let Him do His work, it's a sanctification process. It takes time. It's not instant. It is so much better when we let Him drive and let Him drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there will probably be a lot of bumps. With Him in control, though, He's always faithful to bring it to a healing resolution.
So you've talked to some people about SRA around you, but in general, did you feel like you had people that you specifically could talk to help you through the journey about SRA, or did you feel kind of isolated because of the SRA elements?
So again, we had a good relationship with our inner healing ministry that we started the journey with, and we still do. But outside of that and outside of our pastor, really couldn't talk about it to anyone else, which for me, going with her, I was there. I could talk to them about it. We were in class learning about prayer counseling, so we could talk about it in there. So I had, that was my outlet. But outside of that ministry and our pastor at the time, I didn't have anyone that we could talk to about it. Mostly because there would be such disbelief that those things could really happen. Yeah, people just did not understand. So I was blessed and fortunate that I could talk to the counselors at the place where we were going, and that I was actually there to experience and walk through the healing process with her. So that would be one of the biggest things that I would say as a takeaway, as an encouragement to other spouses, is to walk the journey as much as you can with your spouse through it, whether even if it means attending session. I started off, like I mentioned at the beginning, with more protecting her because she was going to a male counselor and being in a closed room with him for several hours, even though they had cameras for accountability. Still, that's probably the biggest thing that I would encourage others to do, is to actively participate that way, if at all possible. It may seem out of this world. It may seem surreal. It may seem like a movie, but to actually participate and be there provides so much more understanding. And it also provides a level of comfort and stability for the person, for your spouse going through it. So it helps build relationship that way, even though it may be rocky because of all the emotions that are getting stirred up. It's still, someone who's gone through SRA wants to know that there are people that they can depend on, and they have to learn that there are people that they can depend on. So anything that we can do as a spouse to help our spouse feel safe, feel comfortable, to know that we're not going to leave, the better.
That's great advice. I love that. How has this experience made you stronger?
I think it is with my walk with the Lord. Like I mentioned before, that through this process, I'm a firm believer that we could all use counseling, that counseling is not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing, and we all need it. It's more discipleship. It's more mentoring than it is counseling to get something bad out. Because we all encounter stuff in the world that we believe that's not godly, that we need to get out. So just learning how, I had someone actually walk me through the steps of how to hear God. I did not believe I could hear God because I had a belief that he wasn't participating. He was outside the box. He wasn't in the box. So my counseling journey taught me and showed me that he does participate. He is active. He is here, and that I can talk with him and he responds and everything. So that's probably the biggest thing that I've got out of it, seeing it in my life, but also seeing it in her life. So it helped that I was seeing it in both ways, from her and from me.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you want to say?
I'll probably think of things later. The biggest thing is that even though the struggle is real, it's worth it. To try to push it down or to push it away may be full of good intentions, but it's the wrong thing to do. Just to seek the Lord, to let the Lord lead. If you're always following the Lord, then when someone missteps, which we all misstep, then it's not as big of a deal. seek the Lord for healing. Join your spouse in the process. Don't let them do it alone. Or it's what I have right now.
That's good. Thank you so much, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's not an easy journey, but and I hope everybody can see how it is heroic to come alongside a survivor and to walk it with us. And you've done a good job with Carolyn. And it doesn't mean you've done it perfectly, because nobody can walk this perfectly.
Right.
There is no, this
there's
is the way.
One who is perfect. Yeah. He's the one that's bringing the healing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does a good job.
He does.
We muddle along.
Yeah. Well, it's faithful every time.
That he is.
You may not see it in the moment, but once you get through it, you will realize how faithful he is, even in the tiny things.
Yeah. He brings us that life, and that life more abundantly, because the other side of the healing is just the mess that we can't live this life. And that's why we have to go to healing, because we're such a mess and our body is whacked out. And we go to doctors, and the doctors are like, we don't know what's wrong with you. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
That is frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Very. So thank you.
There is hope.
There is hope. Go to Jesus. Hope. He's got all the answers.
He does. It may not fit your paradigm, but he has the answers, and they are true and correct.
Yeah. And I know your wife, Carolyn, and she's a good friend of mine and just delightful. She's a lot of fun, and God's really done a lot in her and through her. And
he's using her mightily, and it's amazing the things that she can do because of what he has done in her.
Yeah, what a change he's made.
Yes, yes.
Is she anything like when you first married her?
Nothing like it.
That's amazing.
It's a good thing. I hope I'm not like I was then either. But yeah, no, she is. She has been transformed greatly. He has done a great work in her. So
we, you know, spouses, we, you know, just stick with us.
Mm-hmm.
Give Jesus space to move us and heal us. And, you know, those frustrating times where it's like, okay, here we go again. Aren't you over it yet? You know, just stay steadfast. We started healing in 99. So we're 24 years in. So we're doing pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, we started 2006.
Yep. Oh. So there's good to come.
Yes,
good to come.
There is.
Yep. He's got the answers. He's got them all. And he doesn't just heal partway.
No.
He's into healing all the way.
All the way. Absolutely. And he is faithful.
That he is. Good word. Thank you. This was encouraging. I really appreciated this interview.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to do it, and hope it can help someone else.
I'm sure it will. Thank you. And thank you for the listeners. And God bless everybody. Thank you.
God bless.
Only God could rescue me. Only God could set me free. Only God. Only God. Only God.